239-1310. 239-1310. It's After News with Amos. Late Friday afternoon, after we went off the air, came an announcement to the media, that two charter schools, Andrew Academy and Padua Academy, that were kind of set up back, 4 years ago, in an experiment where two parochial schools, at the time St. Andrew's Parochial School and St. Anthony's Parochial School, decided to try an experiment to go from being a parochial school to a public school, and they became mayor's charter schools. They had a distinguished board of directors that included former mayor Steve Goldsmith, as I remembered, and they kind of started out, had a good initial performance, but the announcement came on Friday that after being charter schools for 4 years, the board of directors of what is called ADI Schools, who were operating the two schools, decided that they wanted to turn their charters back in at the end of this school year, which would be in May and June of 2015. In our studio is Margaret Peggy Elson with ADI Schools. Peggy, welcome.
Thank you.
Obviously, any decision that anybody makes to drastically change the status of a school is a difficult decision and an emotional decision. What led ADI to make the decision to stop being a public charter school?
ADI decided that after 4 years, they were not achieving the goals that they had set forth. And I guess a sudden decision. It appears to be sudden because it came without a whole lot of warning. There was a lot of thought that went into it and a lot of looking at the different options. And ADI, the board, came to the decision that it was in the best interest of the communities that they stop being in the charter business.
Had enrollment plateaued? Had it declined? Was it growing?
Enrollment had plateaued, I would say, and there was a constant turnover. Mm-hmm. The retention of students was low, and we've since learned that the optimum numbers need to be over 300 to really operate a charter well, and we're under that threshold at both of our charter schools.
As you all were making the decision, the reason I bring this up with some of the feedback that's occurred from the parents at Flanner House Elementary, and again, these are apples and pomegranates.
Absolutely.
Comparing them. But one of the things that the parents said loud and clear was they didn't like being blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
They would have liked to have known that there were serious problems going on in the school or people investigating. As you all looked at this, over a number of weeks, was at any point you all clued parents in that, hey, we're not satisfied with where the schools are going and we're thinking of options?
No. Okay. No. I think the timing was unfortunate, maybe, or perhaps fortunate. I'm not sure, Mr. Brown, if it was good or bad, but we did not know the Flanner decision was coming. So we had targeted this date, and we are proud that we made the announcement in August, early enough in the year to inform the families, the parents, the communities that this is going to happen. We promise to walk through this journey with you, your choice, another charter school, a traditional public school, or a Catholic school. We will work with each of you as best we can to help you find that optimum placement for your children.
Did the city's Office of Charter Schools, Office of Educational Innovation, did they, when you started talking with them about, hey, we're thinking of this, we're not pleased with the goals, did they try to say, oh, you know, Peggy, hang in there, you know, we really, you know, we like what you all were doing, you're in the middle of your 7 years as a charter, don't give up, we've got technical experts. Did they offer anything, or they just kind of said, oh, okay.
You know, they are wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Peggy wasn't at the first meeting. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, Brandon Brown and Jackie Ganser at the mayor's office have just been fabulous in support of our decision. And we'll walk through this journey with us in helping to place the children. So I can say nothing but good things about the mayor's office.
The biggest question in my mind and in some in our community is, when I read the press release on Friday afternoon, was that Padua, located at St. Anthony's Church on the west side in a growing Latino community, would revert back to a parochial school, a Catholic school. But that Andrew Academy, located in St. Andrews, part of the combined parish of St. Andrews, St. Rita, would not. And mm-hmm. to some people in the community, they're saying, wait a minute, that community gets the option of having their Catholic school back. This other community does not. Walk me and this audience through why the difference.
Sure. Sure. What we've learned is, in the last couple of years, there have been some proven charter operators that have really, if you will, coveted that Andrew Academy site and have expressed interest in the site. It's a beautiful campus. I was there this morning for drop-off. There's plenty of parking, plenty of space, and has a capacity for about 500 children, 500 students. So it is a site that has been viewed as, there's been interest expressed in that site. Padua Academy, St. Anthony, they're at capacity at 240 children. Mm-hmm. So again, they don't meet that threshold of 300 that can, that magic number, if you will, the low end. So with that being said, the interest has been expressed for other charters to go to Andrew. And as we looked back at the data, we have no hard numbers for the years that Andrew Academy has been a charter school to know exactly how many children in the school are Catholic. But we do know that the year previous to becoming charter, there were less than 10% of the children at St. Andrew, St. Rita that were Catholic. And the numbers at Padua, again, I don't have hard, fast numbers how many of those children are Catholic. It is greater. It is greater.
Here's the other question, though. If the parish community of St. Andrew and St. Rita were to say, hey, we'd like to look at getting back into the education business, would they be given a shot at that?
If the cry were there, I would have to say our archbishop and our archdiocese would listen. Mm-hmm. If the cry were there. You know, obviously the letter, as you pointed out, went out Friday afternoon. So as people are finding out, there has been no, I've received nothing to say, hey, what about us becoming Catholic? So again, if the cry would come from the parishioners or from those, in the St. Andrew community, I'm sure that the Office of Catholic Education and the Archbishop would listen.
In terms of this particular school year, given that the tests are all changing and we're into this Common Core, mm-hmm. aka Indiana College and Career Ready Standards, is there going to be a sense of the staff of ADI that they're going to do all that they can to end ADI's stewardship of these two schools and try to knock it out the box as best y'all can?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been in contact with both staffs, and they are very dynamic, very committed to the children they are serving and the community they are serving. We are doing everything in our power to prepare these children, be they in second grade, prepare them for third, be they in seventh grade, prepare them for eighth. Prepare them well for the next step. Well, that is our promise.
In terms of charter operators that have expressed an interest, have these been, particularly when I look at Andrew Academy, they are almost surrounded by a number of charter schools. So there's another argument that could be said. Maybe the neighborhood is super saturated with charter schools, and maybe what is best is that the students at Andrew Academy find a home where they can stay for the rest of their elementary career.
You know, I would agree with that. You'd think, how is there room for more? But yet, I have to believe that those who have expressed interest have done the research and know that apparently there's room for another school in their network.
You know, sometimes I think they're all like a bunch of fast food places and, you know, trying to get more fast food and just diluting the people. You know, there's only so many people that like Burger King.
That's right.
If their parents or grandparents listening that maybe haven't read the note that their that their kids brought home or they're just finding out about it, what would you suggest that they do to get more information?
They can certainly contact me at the Archdiocese. Should I give my email address? I mean, I'm happy to contact.
It's a public school.
That's right. Well, or contact either. Yes, contact those at Andrew Academy, and I will be happy to reply to their requests or their questions. Because again, that was one of the my charges this year from the Archbishop and from the Archdiocese to step these families through the next phase of that.
From the Archdiocese point of view, because again, when this was set up 4 years ago, there was a different Archbishop in the seat here in Indianapolis, and there was a different Pope in the seat in Rome. From the Archdiocese point of view, I mean, this was looked at as an experiment. From the Archdiocese point of view, is this something where the experiment has failed? How would the Archdiocese view this?
We don't like the word failed. We're disappointed. We are proud that we took these steps forward, and you're right, it was the previous Archbishop that, and this Archbishop as well, that feels committed to the communities. You know, this was right before vouchers as well.
And I was going to ask about this. This was entered in before the state did vouchers now, and correct me if I'm wrong, enrollment at the schools of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, not just here in the immediate Indianapolis area, but throughout the Archdiocese, has increased. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the racial diversity within Archdiocesan schools have increased because
you're
of the vouchers.
You're correct. Again, I have no hard, fast numbers, but you're correct. So, you know, had we seen that coming, would we have held back? I don't know. Again, I wasn't at that table. But at the time, the decision was made in the best interest of each of those communities. And we've done the best that we can, and are ready to say, you know, we would like to provide opportunities for each school where better opportunities.
Let me go sit here at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Brother Amoson, and hello to your guests as
yes.
well. I have a comment, maybe in a question form. Very often when the charter schools close, that the students and parents are left to survive on their own. Has there been any conversation about requiring charter schools to be bonded, to pay money in advance to a bond, so that in case of when those schools close, there will be money to help the parents to find or to relocate, because the public schools don't have the option to say yes or no. They must take all students, but they charter schools and close midstream, mid-season, mid-semester, and the parents are left to go on their own.
You know, Brother Sahir, that's interesting, and I know a number of state legislators in the wake of the Flanner House situation are looking at, is it time to look at some legislative remedies that govern when and how schools voluntarily close? And I think what these two schools, Andrew and Padua, have done was made a decision early enough in the school year to allow parents to be able to make long-term decisions on the education of their young people. I think that's good on their part. One of the things that has come up in the whole Flanner House situation is uniform costs, but again, that's a short term thing because you know different schools have different uniform requirements. But I think this is going to be Spirit tells me this will be somebody's going to file a bill in the legislature, and that's going to force a public discussion how these kinds of transitions end. And I'm sure that ADI will at least can bring something to the table in terms of how they felt they could handle that. And if you look at it from a faith perspective, they're operating in the best traditions of their faith, looking at, you know, how do you make a difficult decision best for people?
Yeah, but I'm thinking if they had maybe had to buy when they put together their package for their school,
mm-hmm.
they have to buy maybe say a 5-year bond costs so many thousands of dollars or a 10-year bond, so that in case they cannot keep whatever reasons, academics or whatever, they can't keep their school going, then the money would be set aside with this bond money to help to relocate the parents, because the students are the ones getting hurt who are dropped mid-season, and they have to readjust into a new school system on their own. Mm-hmm. So if they had that bond money, they would help.
That's an interesting point because, again, this Indiana is not the only state where charter schools have opened and closed. We've had these. This one is not as abrupt transition. This is probably when I'm thinking about the history of charter schools that have closed, this is probably the most humane decision where the announcement that this is the last year is made literally at the beginning of the school year. We've had charters that got pulled in December, January, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
April, this is one where literally almost at the beginning of the school year, the operator said, hey, we're not going to hang anymore. It's almost like an automaker. You know, it used to be back in the day, the automakers would say, okay, this is the last year of this car.
Yeah.
And consumers got a whole year, almost a year's warning that the car won't be made anymore. And then all of a sudden the price of the car went up because everybody wanted to have that car. And it could be, as Peggy said earlier, a desire from the staff to go out. To go out strong, to end on an upbeat note. But, Brother Sahir, that's a great suggestion. I appreciate that. Thank you. And, again, Peggy Elson, parents and grandparents, you know, can talk to the principals at Andrew in Padua, or they can, you know, give ADI a call or the Archdiocese a call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I welcome that.
Margaret Peggy Elson with ADI, that's the public operator of Padua Academy and Andrew Academy, formerly independent Catholic schools that transitioned to public. One of the few, I don't know whether this was the first religious schools that turned to public.
I know all eyes have been on us. Mm. I know that. Now, whether we're first, again, you're asking me some hard questions.
Right.
I'd have to do a little research on that. But I know a couple things happened in D.C. and,
right.
and Miami and Milwaukee. But again, this particular governance model, I think, may be just here. So,
it sounds like there'll be a whole lot of people doing masters and thesis and doctoral theses.
Absolutely.
About this. Margaret Peggy Elson with ADI, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.